Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Go Blue with Stu. I am your host, Stuart Douglas. Today with me, special guest, Andy Katz. Andy, thank you for coming on today.
Thanks, Stu. The tables have been turned.
Yes, they have been turned. It's funny now to do this. Jeff suggested that I get you guys, some other media guys, and I was like, oh, this is awkward. This is different. But it's not that bad.
No. You were always very accommodating, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, good. I like that. Okay, I'll take that. My mom would be very proud of me for that.
Yes.
So you said you watched a little bit of the UM game. I watched basically all of it and then rewatched it again. It was very impressive. You know, I kind of want to jump into a more general view of Michigan. And I think, tell me if I'm wrong, that this Michigan team, how they're playing right now and talent-wise, is a tournament team, but their resume is not. Is that wrong?
No, I actually think that, and over this weekend, we're putting together one more bracket after the top 16 reveal on Saturday, that my feeling is they're in at this moment in time. Because one thing we have to view, and I know you know this, Stu, but people maybe don't always grasp this, is that you have to take each team in comparison to the greater picture here. And so other teams have to go up and grab a spot from a Michigan, for example.
Yep.
And then you have to say, okay, what has Michigan done versus, you know, a St. Bonaventure or a VCU or, you know, an Oregon or something like that. And in the recent past, Michigan, I think, has better wins. And that's the way I kind of look at Rutgers as well in the Big Ten, that Rutgers has some bad losses. No question about it. You can't erase them, but they've made up for a lot of that by winning four ranked games in a row, six quad one wins. And so with Michigan, you know, beating Iowa on the road was a significant win for them because it was another indication, because they also have that at Indiana win, you know, and road wins are, you know, they're like, you know, Willy Wonka, you know, golden tickets.
Yeah.
And when you get them, to me, that puts you ahead of other teams when you can get those kind of road wins. So at this moment in time, yes, they passed the eye test, but they also, I think, have the resume in comparison to other like-minded teams to be in.
That's good to hear, because everyone's been concerned about the wins and, you know, I think I take it back to now the how big they won against Purdue. Does that weigh, like, how much does that weigh, that margin of victory for you?
Well, it's significant. I mean, to me, I had it as the most significant win last week, and you could argue one of the biggest wins of the season in the Big Ten. I was doing that for the Big Ten Network. I mean, you know, I know on a Purdue side, they'll say, well, look, you know, we were tired. That was a rescheduled game.
Yeah.
You know, they played Illinois 2 days before. And those are all legitimate excuses, but not to get run out. I mean, they were just blasted. And that was, see, that's another thing to, you know, I'm not on the committee, but to me, you know, how do you perform at your best against like-minded competition? And, you know, Michigan recently has shown at their best, they can beat anybody because they're going against some of the better teams in the country, obviously, in their league. Now, at their worst, earlier in the season, they were really bad. I mean, they got blown out in the second halves against Arizona, North Carolina. I know I'm missing one other. There was one other loss they had that.
And UCF was not good.
Yeah, but that was not a blowout. There was another one.
There was another blowout. I can't remember either.
Anyway, you know, so when things went south on them, they went really south.
Yeah.
And, you know, in theory now, like, the Minnesota home loss does not look good, you know, in the big picture. So, you know, overall, the body of work, you would say, not really, but I'm more of a, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
And have you beaten the better teams now? Have you been more consistent? And that's what we have seen lately. Because even the Penn State game, I think a month ago, 6 weeks ago, they lose that game.
Yeah.
But they found a way to win it on the road. And so that was another road win. And you think about, okay, other teams have not gone into Penn State and won. You know, other teams have lost at Penn State recently. Iowa being one of them, Michigan State being another. Well, that was the other one. Yeah, Michigan State absolutely blew out Michigan, toward the second half.
Yeah.
So, look, I think Michigan has figured it out. I also think they're one of these teams. I actually think Michigan and Rutgers, and I'm hoping Ron Harper Jr. is going to be healthy enough. We just don't know yet. Mm-hmm. But those two teams feel like, to me, two teams that'll be in the back part of the bracket, but are going to be playing their best basketball and could get to the Sweet 16. You know, like, that, you know, whereas the other teams maybe have peaked and are starting to come down a little.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like Michigan and Rutgers out of the Big Ten are two teams I will not be shocked at all if they're healthy, if they're playing in that second weekend.
I wanted to ask you about that because it's been crazy to watch the Big Ten this year, and especially watching some of these teams plateau. Overall, big picture of the tournament, is there a team, can Purdue do it? Is Wisconsin capable? They've shown a lot of, you know, dents in their armor. Can they make a run? Like, are they likely to make a run in the tournament? Or are we seeing their flaws and, like, you know, now they're coming back down to earth a little bit?
So I go back and forth on this with Purdue. You know, it's strange how poor their defense is. It's just not a Purdue thing. Yeah, and yet they're one of the worst defensive teams efficiency wise in the Big Ten. And so you'd say, well, okay, you know, how can they do that? How can they advance? Then I catch myself saying, wait a minute. A, no other team in the country has that tandem of bigs when those guys are out of foul trouble, when they're not in foul trouble. So that's a huge plus for them. And then they've got a player who can literally just take over the game, and Jaden Ivey. Now, he has not played as well last couple games, and maybe he's tired. It is sort of the February wall that, as you know, know better than I do, that people hit for various reasons, just the exhaustion of the season. And then you sort of get new life in March. So that's the plus for them. And I love the fact they've got these spot shooters like Sasha Stefanovic and Eric Hunter, who's playing much better. Mm-hmm. I am concerned because I've seen them in person multiple times this season, that pressure does bother them. That's another issue depending on, as you know, it's all about matchups and it depends who they go against.
Yes.
For Wisconsin, they have literally, you know, one of the three best players in the country. And that's why they could go all the way to New Orleans. I mean, he literally could carry them. We saw that against Indiana at the end of the game. I mean, he just took over and made play after play after play. And that was the difference between Johnny Davis and Trace Jackson Davis. First off, his teammates knew that. I know this is not an Indiana slant podcast here, but
sometimes it is. So we're going to get there eventually.
I was just befuddled by, not necessarily, you know, Mike Woodson and the staff, but more the teammates. I mean, you've been in this position. I don't understand. It's selfish, really. I mean, if you've got the best player on your team, how he doesn't touch the basketball in the last couple of minutes and you don't defer to him.
Yeah.
And you try to play hero ball. See, that was the difference when I looked at Wisconsin versus Indiana. Everyone in Wisconsin knew Johnny Davis has got to take these shots. And we're going to rise and fall on Johnny Davis. And he's okay with that kind of pressure. And if maybe Brad Davison's open for a spot, fine, for a spot three. But Indiana was like, no, we're all going to try to do it. And they failed miserably at it. And I don't get that. And TJD can create, but not as well, obviously, as Johnny. He's bigger, but he still needs to have the basketball. And, you know, so with Michigan, circling back, you know, for them to reach their potential, then they need obviously Caleb Houston. And look, you know, I think we're all guilty of this with freshmen, you know, that we build up these people too high and they're only 18 years old. And that's probably not fair because we've been spoiled by these one and done players who come in and they're just great right away.
Yeah,
and I feel like Caleb Houston has had sort of a natural freshman year. He's had some good games, he's had some down, and that's okay. But you know, the expectations are, you got to get yours and get on. And but he's had a normal. And Devontae Jones, you know, comes in with all this hype from Coastal Carolina. But you know what? Sorry, it is Coastal Carolina. There's a reason you're there. And I think Michigan fans were also spoiled by Mike Smith and Duncan Robinson, because that just doesn't happen that often.
No.
I mean, Mike Smith comes in from Columbia, and it was like the perfect point guard for that team as a distributor. Didn't try to do too much, picked his spots, and it worked. And Duncan Robinson is just a total anomaly to go from Williams, D3, to, starter leading, Michigan, and then ultimately,
breaking a major records.
Contributor in the NBA.
Yeah.
So Devontae Jones and Caleb Houston are sort of normal transfer freshmen. And then Musa Diabate, same thing. He had a great game against Iowa. And it's February. And that's good. That's great. But you know what? He shouldn't have expected to have like all these great games all in a row. That's normal, especially for a big to come in as a freshman. You don't expect them to be great right away.
Yep. No, it's fun to watch, especially Michigan's defense the last three or four games, where they're not losing shooters. They're not losing guys on rotations. They're making those rotations. And I've always said that it takes one guy to screw up a rotation and your defense is done. And so Caleb was doing that a lot of times, and Musa sometimes as well. And now they're figuring it out. They're learning. And it's, February. But like, that's what happens when you're a freshman and you get thrown into the fire and you got to play offense. You got to score. Everyone's worried about what are you going to be here next year? Yada, yada, yada. Like, it's never ending for those guys. So it's been fun to watch the progression. And to Devontae's point, the Mike Smith comparison, I think it was, I can't remember who did it, UM Hoops, they did a comparison about stats. And Devontae's stats have been very similar, but it wasn't the same feel until, for me, the last few games where, like, Devontae, at the end of the game at Iowa, give me the ball. I got the ball. We're slumping a little bit. They're making a little comeback. Give me the ball. I'm going to run the offense. And that was huge, because before, I don't think he would have had that type of confidence. And,
in a weird way, Mike had an easier time because he had a very defined role.
Yeah. Plus you got Livers
Devontae's this combo, and he's a combo, whereas Mike Smith, you are the playmaker. You're the point guard. Very defined.
Yeah, it's very true. They're very different roles as well. And we always, this is the problem with college hoops, is like one guy leaves and then you want to plug in someone in the exact same successful role. And it's like, that guy's totally different. Like, Caleb is not Isaiah Livers, and he never will be, and they'll be very different forever. But it's interesting to watch them the last few games. I'm not going to hold you to the highest standard because you have to watch so much basketball, but they have now shortened their rotation drastically, and it is just basically 5.5, maybe 6 guys playing, and they've shortened their list of plays. Like, it's like, we're going to post up and go from there and then run some sets. What have you seen that you've really liked? Maybe a difference in play or certain types of players coming alive from the beginning till now, like that, where you say, okay, this is a tournament team. What makes you say that from a player standpoint?
Well, first, like with Hunter, I'm a big believer that the personnel around someone, really help shape who they are. And unless you're absolutely just an elite guy, you could do anything, on your own. And I don't think everyone appreciated enough how much Mike Smith, Isaiah Livers, helped Hunter Dickinson.
Yeah.
And also, yes, he was highly recruited, but he also didn't have as much hype coming in last season. Then bam, here he is, one of the best bigs in the country as a freshman right off the bat. And so, I think this was a little different this year when you lose those veteran guys that I think helped, put him in positive positions. Mm-hmm. And so it just took a little while. The COVID thing didn't help. That obviously derailed him for a little bit. So clearly he is playing his best basketball at the right time.
Yeah.
Eli Brooks also, I think, has shown great leadership and is playing better now later. But I think earlier in the season, I remember talking to him at Big Ten Media Day, there was this expectation he was going to be like literally first team all Big Ten. And that probably wasn't fair. He wasn't named first team all Big Ten, but like this expectation, like, oh, it's his turn. And, to me, he is, and this is not a knock. I mean, like, he's the ultimate sort of like he's a great glue guy. He can do a little bit of something for you, good leader, but I don't need him, or I shouldn't need him, to go out and give me 20.
Yeah.
If I get 20 from him, that's great, but I shouldn't expect that, because he can do all these other little things as well as just be a verbal, vocal leader. But those guys are playing better. And it just feels like Juwan and the staff from outside, they're actually one of the few teams I have not seen in person this season. I'll see them obviously at the tournament, at the Big Ten tournament. But I've watched a ton of their games because I've been in studio obviously all the time. But, you know, it feels like he's, like you said, he's got a better grasp on this team than he maybe had earlier in the season.
Yeah, no, it's fun to watch Juwan for sure, because it's an evolution for him. Last year, again, you realize like how good they are when they leave, all those players. So it's been fun to watch him have to adjust to a whole different team, freshmen, guys making mistakes. It's really good. And you know, college fans. So I had to hear it at the beginning of the season, like, what's going on? The coaching sucks. And like, yeah, okay, like, it wasn't great, but give it time. Like, everything will be fine. Like, we hire people to be smart, not like to have all the answers all the time. So
it's been fun. Well, and the other thing I'll tell you, Stu, is that this year, I have not talked to Juwan about this, but I would not be surprised if, you know, he's never been used to losing. He's never really lost. They obviously had great success with the Heat. And I have to believe, like, he was knocked back a little by those margins in the second halves in some of those big games.
Yeah.
Because it was just so stunning. And we just didn't expect that in the combination of a Beeline Juwan Howard era to get blown out like that in big games. And I just have to believe it was like, okay, what's going on here? Let me refocus and reset. Like, what are we doing? Because something's just clearly not working.
Yeah, no, it was interesting watching the Arizona game. And I remember they played like 10, 11 guys. And I was like, this is not normal. I know Iowa does it, but I don't agree with it. But it wasn't normal. And you see them kind of just throwing things at the wall, seeing what was going to stick. And eventually you kind of figure it out. You just dwindle it down and it figures itself out. But before we get you out of here, I know you're a busy man. I really appreciate the time. I did say that sometimes it's a bit of an IU slant. I grew up hating IU. Okay. So tell me that IU is not going to make it into the tournament this year.
I'm not going to tell you they're definitely not going to make it. I will tell you that, you know, as of this moment in time, I think they're hanging by a thread.
Yeah.
You know, this weekend we're going to have the top 16 reveal, and I would say they're closer to the first four versus and maybe out than in.
Hmm.
And can they change that? Of course. I mean, as I mentioned, Rutgers has changed its narrative, but Indiana has lost now multiple home games that they could have won.
Yeah.
You know, I don't expect them to win at Ohio State. I don't expect them to win at Purdue. So that leaves three games in the middle that they're going to have to do something with. And that's home Maryland, home Minnesota, and home Rutgers. So, you know, those are three pretty must wins.
Yeah.
If they don't get them, they're going to have to do something in the tournament. And this will just be very disappointing if Trace Jackson Davis doesn't get into the NCAA tournament. He's kind of player that you would hope would have been in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, certainly Mike Woodson and the staff, I thought they did the right things going into the season.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just think some of their players have let them down. We question some of the decisions at times, but for the most part, it's still in front of them. They're in sense of urgency mode beginning now.
Yeah, definitely. I do take too much pleasure in some of their losses, but I will say Mike Woodson, he seems like the right guy, and I think it'll be fun to watch them in the years to come, and, you know, especially against Michigan, those battles. I think it'll be fun. I think it was the right choice, and they'll be fine down the road. But you know how it is. Let's sound the alarms, freak out now. You know, we made the wrong decision. So, yes. Andy, I really appreciate it. You are crazy busy, so I really do appreciate you taking the time. And, you know, maybe we can get you down the road closer to the NCAA tournament, get you back on for another 20-30 minutes.
All right, great. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.